It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, how we experience time. And we are starting with a call to an old friend. And I mean a really old friend, one who is thousands of years old. This was an idea that artist Katie Patterson had in 2007 while she was living in Iceland.
Yeah, so I made an artwork where I put a microphone deep inside a melting glacier in Iceland, Vatnajökull.
Vatnajökull is the largest glacier in Iceland. It covers around 10% of the country, and it is ancient.
Its formation began during the last ice age, so like over 100,000 years ago, and then its current shape forming about 1,500 years ago. So it's really old.
And Katie wanted people to be able to hear it.
And so I'd set up a live phone line so people all over the world could dial this number and be connected live to the sound of this glacier slowly melting away. So it kind of collapsed the distance and the time between us and our human earthly time and this ancient melting, thawing glacier that's existed for so long, but yet is melting so much faster than ever just now.
I have to ask, how the heck did you get the microphone inside the glacier?
It was a challenge. we used a hydrophone, underwater microphone, and I camped by the glacier with a lot of equipment. And therefore, I was able to watch actually the phone numbers coming into the phone from the UK to China and India and even Iraq, and imagining all of these different people calling in to listen to this freezing, melting glacier.
Of course, there's something that's happening to glaciers now that wasn't happening for the majority of the Earth's history, which is that they are melting rapidly. Was that the idea, to help people connect, to actually be able to hear what that sounds like?
Yeah, absolutely. So putting a phone line in was trying to make a kind of intimate connection, really, with the glacier, and allowing people to listen one at a time, because if you dialed and somebody else was on the line, you got the engaged tone. Beep,
oh,
beep, beep.
The glacier was busy.
Uh-huh. The glacier was busy, exactly. And so, part of it was trying to bring something closer. So you were listening live, really, to the sound of it melting. And, in days gone by, that would have been a very natural occurrence. But now it's exponentially speeded up. I mean, sadly, it's already in Iceland. They've declared their first glacier totally dead, and they're melting so fast.
Through glaciers, stars, the universe, much of Katie Patterson's artwork explores deep time.
Anything way beyond the human lifespan, going really back in time into the Earth's deep history, and even beyond that, back into the cosmic time of the universe. So we're thinking about millions of years, thousands, but more millions and billions of years. I've always been drawn to this very deep sense of how we think of time.
Time can be an abstract concept. Why does 1 hour drag by, but a year can pass in a flash? And how does our relationship to time influence how we act every day, from making decisions to feeling awed by the world around us? On the show today, how we experience time. Ideas about how our brain interprets minutes, hours, and days, and how we can make the most of the time we have. Katie Patterson's artwork often encourages us to think more broadly about the thousands and millions of years that came before we were born, and how space and time interact, as she did with a project called Earth, Moon, Earth.
So Earth, Moon, Earth involved beaming Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata to the moon and back to Earth, using a kind of radio technology that's called Earth, Moon, Earth, or Moon Bounce. And it's a really, you know, underground, not very known about technology, where people literally send each other messages via the moon, using the moon as like a kind of transmitter. Mm. It just takes 2.5 seconds to like bounce from the moon and travel that long journey back to Earth. So when I learned about this, at first I thought it sounded like science fiction and, you know, is this real? This is crazy. But I love the idea of beaming messages and using the moon as this kind of transmitter of messages to one another. But instead of sending words, I decided to send a piece of music, and that was Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. The song I translated into Morse code because that's the way it's sent. The information is all sent in Morse code, which I kind of loved as well. And so, yeah, we broke down the score into ACGs and, you know, the different tones and even the treble clefs and all the different musical symbols we made into Morse code and beamed that from the moon. And then when it came back, we had a group of Morse code decipherers make it back into score. But what happened is, because of the lunar surface and the weather and the shadows and the moon, not all of the notes came back. What you hear now is the sonata, but with little bits kind of missing, that at first is very subtle, but by the end of the piece you're hearing like whole chords that are gone. And I like to imagine that they're floating up there in the depths of space and time. The pauses that you're hearing are the presences of the moon and the surface of the moon. And so I love the idea that the music had been on this cosmic journey through time and through space, and now you hear the fragments of it touched by the surface of the moon.
It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's turn to a newer piece of yours. There Lay the Days Between. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this is a ticker board, or like a changing number, the kinds that you normally see in stations and so on. So it's a very long number, 2 trillion, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't think I can even say the full number, but it's a very long number. And what the number represents is the number of sunrises that have ever happened since the Earth began. And we ended up working with many different astronomers and the Astronomer Royal of Scotland. And it was a big challenge because when you go back to the very deep time of the Earth's very early years, when it was just coming into existence, we don't really know its orbit rate at that time. So there's kind of periods in the Earth's history that we feel very certain about. And then there's periods that are very speculative. So we joined up all the dots and created one number that was as close as we could possibly get to feeling comfortable that that would be the number of sunrises that have taken place since the Earth began. And actually, we've left enough space for all the sunrises still to come till the end of the Earth.
How many spaces did you leave then?
Yeah, it's got another several trillion spaces left.
What I find so funny about this piece of art is it looks like an old-fashioned alarm clock, kind of, like where the numbers flip.
Yeah, it is. It's like a flipping alarm clock, but it's telling you the kind of cosmic time of the Earth history. And at sunrise every day, wherever the artwork is, it goes up one number according to that day's sunrise. So you have this kind of rattling of the flip numbers turning and then stopping at one more sunrise.
I found it disturbing. I was like, that's it? Just 2 trillion? It was something very weird to see it in numbers.
Yeah, I think also because it could, you know, you could imagine it could be a string of numbers that was, you know, almost infinite. But in fact, you know, we have mm-hmm. a very set time from when the Earth was born. And even though it's a huge expanse of time, it's still got its own lifespan mm-hmm. that has a beginning and it has a posited end.
I think that's what a lot of people don't want to think about that. And your art often makes people confront the sort of finiteness of space and time, which is deeply upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, I pivot between finding it, like wondrous, you know, that we live in this huge, expansive universe that just goes on and on infinitely. But then at the same time that everything in the cosmos has a kind of clock inside it, you know, from our moon and our earth all the way back to distant stars and all the way forward into time as well. And then our human life within those kind of enormous time spans starts to fade into a very, very small notch, I guess, or one second on the on the huge cosmic clock. But I find that quite comforting. I kind of find it gives me some rootedness to feel like here we are, part of this, you know, enormous expanse of time, and how incredible to be part of that.
What I love about your work, Katie, is that you take something that is so ephemeral and hard to grasp, time, and you turn it into a sensory experience through each of your pieces so that we can connect with it in a way that I don't think we do often.
Yeah.
We're all busy and typing and swiping and connecting and going, you know, living virtually. This idea of connecting to sort of the deep core of our being is something we don't usually make time for.
Absolutely. And it's all right there, you know, if we choose to tune in. I think it is astonishing that when we take that larger picture, we can see that our lives are owed to every other living being that's been before us. And I'm absolutely somebody that's rushing about all the time as well. But yet, it doesn't take much to feel really astounded, you know, looking up to the sky or even looking at leaf in detail and kind of thinking, goodness, you know, we're part of something much bigger than ourselves, and life that goes way beyond us and that will go ahead of us as well. So I find that that kind of way of thinking and expanding the time horizons can really help us connect to something much larger, and that's a really good feeling.
That's artist Katie Patterson. You can see her TED Talk at TED.com. On the show today, how we experience time. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Stay with us.